All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Our subject tonight is this. It's found at the beginning of verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. That's the subject of our message today. Turn you at my reproof. Now, a reproof is a criticism for a fault. That's what it is. Or it could be a blame expressed to the face. The idea is you're out of line, and then the reproof comes, and it's there to show you how you're out of line, and it's there to get you to do just what verse 23 says, to turn. Turn you at my reproof. The Bible says the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We are all subject to reproof. There's not anybody in here that is not in need of reproof from time to time. It's just the way of life. All right? And so the passage here says when you get the reproof, turn you at my reproof. And the reproofs are not just criticism to make you feel bad. The reproof is there for your good. It's to turn you into something that's going to result in something better for you than what you are doing or the way you're going now. So in this context that we just read, the Lord reproves the simple, the scorners, and fools because they're off track. And I would say when I read this, I say to the Lord, I'm thankful because I recognize that I'm simple and I'm a fool. I'm scorning you, but I realize how many times I've made foolish decisions or been simple without knowing what I was doing, lacked the knowledge. So Proverbs says in order that these three, simple, scorners, and fools, would turn from their folly, the reproof is given. And he says, if you turn, what will happen in verse 23? I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, which is really important because then with the spirit on you and with the words before you that you understand, now you see the correct way to go. And that's a beautiful thing. So he makes known his words to us. And that way we become wise instead of fools, understanding instead of simple. And look at the end of the chapter there in verse 33. We dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's a great result. If instead, when a reproof is given, someone despises the reproof, like verse 30 says, they despised all my reproof, and they refuse to turn, then verse 27 says, you get three D's. What are they? Desolation, destruction, and distress. Yeah, so there's a real good outcome if you follow the reproof, and a real bad outcome if you don't. And worse than that, if this is a continual thing, which is implied in the passage we're reading, the Lord's laughing at you and mocking you because I told you and told you and told you and you didn't turn. And then finally he says, when they're reaping all this, they call upon me and I'm not even going to answer them. That's a terrible place to be. I think I heard a man preach a sermon one time on the laughter of the Lord, and it was out of this passage. He said, you really don't want the Lord to laugh at you for all the times that you reprove and didn't listen to what he said. All right, so the purpose is to get you to turn, to know his words, and then to follow what he said so that you are no longer simple or no longer a fool, but you're wise and understanding and making good decisions and staying out of trouble, being blessed instead. Now, I want to take you to the New Testament, and I'm going to give you a classic example of somebody that gets a reproof a few times, and then it doesn't go well for him. And you're going to know who the person is already, and you're already going to know about how it turns out. But you ought to see, I don't know if you've seen it, the progress of the reproofs. We're talking about Peter. So turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, this is where Jesus asks the disciples, whom do people say that I am? And Peter makes that confession that was revealed to him by the Father, which is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Tremendous, tremendous statement. All right? Then, in verse 21, after he has testified that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in verse 21, from that time forth, so Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, watch this, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Do you see this? You see what Peter's saying? Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, that is Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So Jesus Christ reproved Peter by saying, you're savoring the things that be of men, not the things that be of God. He reproved him. And why did he prove him? Because Jesus Christ told him, this is what I've got to do. And he didn't believe the Lord. He said, no, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. So you see the reproof. Now, Peter should have responded to the reproof and should have said, when the Lord tells me something, I need to believe what he's saying. I need to go along with what he's saying, particularly since he just called me Satan. And we know he's talking to the devil, of course, when he says it, but to imagine that Peter was under that kind of influence that the Lord could look at him and address Satan, quite a reproof, wouldn't you say? And so he should have listened to that. But then notice Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Now the time has come for the Lord Jesus Christ to die. This thing that he's been telling them is going to come to pass now. Okay? And if you notice where you are in Luke chapter 22, they've had the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. But they have not yet gone into the garden. Notice verse 39, just so you know where you are. And notice also, just look at verse 18. All right, or verse 19. He took bread, gave thanks, break it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we know what he's getting ready to say is after the Lord's Supper. Notice verse 39. Verse 39, he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. All right? And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. So it's before they've left to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, but it's after the Lord's Supper that verse 31 happens. In verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm ready. And he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me? And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked anything? They said nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. This that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said to them, it's enough. I wanted to read the whole passage so you understand what's going on there. The Lord said, Satan's coming after you, Peter. And I've been praying for you. And Peter said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to go with thee to death. Okay? And the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times. And then the cock is going to crow. And then so Peter is like, there ain't no way. I am not, you know, he does not believe what's just been said. And you know that because he said earlier, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not. It's not going to happen to you. This is not happening. Right? I'm ready to go with you into prison and to die. And the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times. And he's thinking to himself, then no way. Not for a man that's ready to go into his own death. I'm not afraid of death or prison. And I don't believe he was. But then the Lord says, go get these swords. See, Peter doesn't realize this thing is developing into a setup. You know that Peter has one of the swords. So now they go out into the garden, right? So the Lord reproved him. Peter said, I'm ready. He said, the cock's not even going to crow until you've denied me thrice. And Peter didn't believe that. And he didn't take the reproof. All right, so they get the swords. Mark 14. Are we together? How are we going on this? You see how it's developing? So the Lord said it right after that great confession. Mark 14, we want verse 26. Peter's like, be it far from thee, Lord. This ain't happening. This shall not be unto thee. Then he says, oh, okay. Now, Mark 14, verse 26. Mark 14, verse 26. When they had sung a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives. So now they've left. Now they got the swords. Now they've left where they were having the Lord's Supper. Now they're going out into the garden. See it? All right. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's the word of the Lord. That's Zechariah 13, verse 7. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter, here we go again. Here we go again. Said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Oh, Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. So he's told him again. Right? But Peter, in verse 31, spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said that. Also said they all. So, do you see what Peter's having a trouble with? He's having trouble with the reproofs, and he's having trouble believing what the Lord is saying. And every time the Lord has to jump him out about it, and every time Peter said, it ain't happening. This shall not be unto thee. As a matter of fact, this shall not be unto me. All right. Now Mark 14. Verse 36, so we already know now Jesus is praying. Peter, James, and John are together, okay? Verse 33 says, he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed, very heavy. He saith, my soul is exceeding, verse 34, exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Verse 35, he went forward a little and fell on the ground. Now he's praying. Verse 37, he cometh and findeth them sleeping. He told them, don't fall asleep. Watch, is what he told them. He findeth them sleeping, and he saith unto Peter, Peter, poor Peter, he gets it every time. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spake the same words, and when he returned, he found him asleep again. Peter has not gotten this, what's going on here. He's been reproved, but he still does not believe what the Lord has been saying to him. Are you getting what's happening here? If that reproof, stay awake, watch. He didn't do it. Believe what I'm telling you. I am going to die. I am going to rise again. And he's like, I got a sword. You know, what Peter didn't realize, Peter knew this. He would have died with the Lord. Peter knew that he would have gone to prison with the Lord because he wasn't afraid to stand for the Lord. What he didn't know is that when Judas and those others entered the garden to take Jesus, and he said, this shall not be unto thee, and he pulls the sword and tries to cut off Malchus's head and misses and cuts off his ear. He's a fisherman, not a soldier. Okay? He can cast, but not too good with a sword. And Jesus picked up the ear and put that back on Malchus and healed him and then rebuked Peter for trying to kill that man. Peter didn't realize what would happen to him then. And what happened to him then is, this shall not be unto thee. And this man is doing nothing to stop his own death. That offended Peter. That got him. And so when Jesus was in the trial and they said, oh, you were with him. I wasn't with that guy. I was with the guy that's supposed to be king of the Jews, and I was supposed to be the guy with the sword to kill all the guys in the garden so he could take the throne. I don't know that guy. That guy's like suicidal, willing to die like this. And so they ask him 3 times, and it's a terrible situation. Go back to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. The point of this is the Lord has told him again and again and again what was going to happen, explained to him, and Peter just did not turn from that mindset, I've got to stand and keep this man from dying. Luke chapter 22, verse 60. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. At the moment the cock crows, after the third denial, the Lord turns and looks on Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He finally got the message. 4 times the Lord reproved him, staying on that course. And finally he turned. And he, okay, I got it now. I'm not on that course anymore. And of course, you know, that set him up by Acts chapter 2. Peter was the one that stood up and organized the disciples to make a selection for Judas's replacement. And he's the one in Acts chapter 2 that stood up after the Holy Spirit came, began to preach the gospel, and many people got saved. He just had to get Peter lined up with what he said. And when you read what Peter says in Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 2, he's quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. Now he understands how the pieces fit together. And he understands what Jesus had been trying to tell him all along. You got to believe what I'm saying. You got to follow what I'm saying. This has to happen. Take the reproof. Get on course. Okay? So the simple message tonight is this. Turn you at my reproof. All of us here are going to live with reproofs. And the reproofs that come to us from the Lord, You know what we need to do? We need to take the reproof and turn. It's when it goes better for you. That's when the Spirit's poured out. That's when the Word is made known to you. It happened to Peter. And then that's when the blessings come. That's when the safety comes. That's when you and the Lord are lined up. And you don't fall into the trap like Judas did with destruction and desolation and distress. Now, you know what? Many of us in this room are just like Peter. It takes 4 or 5 or 6 times for the Lord to say, how many times do I have to tell you? Get this in your head. Follow what I'm saying. And you know what we should work on? Very simply, after what we're seeing is, try to learn to get it on the first or second time. And turn, just, okay, Lord, that's what you're trying to tell me. Reduce it from 4 or 5 to 3. And then when you get good at that, reduce it from 3 to 2 and see if you can't get it on the first go round. Because the Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants us to turn into His way, because it's going to go better for us when we follow the reproof than it is when we keep heading off in the direction we want to go. That was a very embarrassing moment for Peter. And a very troublesome one. And thank God for His mercy. He brought him back into line anyway when he finally got his attention. Let's let the Lord get our attention earlier with these words. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much tonight for an opportunity to be instructed out of the Scripture. We love you and we love your words. And we're thankful for people like Peter who could be willingly used as examples to us to teach us how we look by seeing how he looked in these areas of his life. I pray, Heavenly Father, you help us to get better at it, be more in tune with your word, more receptive to your word, more willing to turn at your reproofs. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.